3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Say it another time. 2 Timothy 3:12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. Okay. A lot of people didn't, for many years, people didn't really understand that, did they, in America? Time is coming. Time is coming. And may soon be upon us. For most of you, 42 years ago, things were a lot different, even in that sense. 42 years ago, when I was saved, I'd never heard anyone talk about being saved. There was not, I did not know of a Bible, a church that taught the Bible anywhere that I knew of. I don't think Oconomowoc had a Bible-believing church. Delafield didn't have one. Neshota didn't have one. I think somewhere about that time, after I got saved, Heartland had a church. Never went to Merton. Merton had a Bible-believing church. Waukesha, that was too far away to know what was going on there. But even then, went to Waukesha High School. I had 600 and some students in my class. Not one person ever told me about salvation. And I think that, but you think of all these people today, that all these churches that preach the Bible, so-called, and yet Christians are still trying to get as close to the world as they can, so someone won't say something about them. And really, that's why so many people are silent. I have asked many young people in high school, how many kids are in high school are saved? And more than one time, I've asked questions, and they said, I don't know anybody. And really, what they meant by that was that everybody is silent, and secondly, no one is willing to live differently so that people might have an idea that they're a Christian. Everybody wants to blend into the mainstream. Okay, we're in Galatians 5. Tim is passing out the sheet, and we're glad that you're here, and let's have some prayer. Okay, George, lead us, please. Okay. Today we are talking about fruit of the Spirit. Certainly a book that is a practical application of the fruit of the Spirit is the book of Proverbs. And in the book of Proverbs, what words would you use to describe, what words does the book of Proverbs use to describe the person who's filled with the Spirit? What words to describe the person who's filled with the Spirit? Wise. Pardon me? Prudent. Righteous, fear of the Lord, the diligent. Think of the opposites of some of those. Foolish, sluggard, for instance, what does it say? The wise men retain riches, but the foolish man spendeth it up. Those are two opposites, right? And what is the key principal difference there? Temperance. What's the big difference between the sluggard? The Bible says the sluggard will not plow because by reason of the cold. Okay? The weather conditions. You know, too cold. Okay? Sluggard. Opposite, obviously, is the diligent. And again, what is the key principle? Key principle is temperance. The word for temperance, this is B, the word for temperance is actually the word, two words, strong in. In other words, strong in a thing. Okay, rather than being carried away by a thing, strong in a thing. It's kind of interesting word. The Bible says that in Proverbs, the wise man is strong. Okay? parallel, wise men retain riches. The foolish man spendeth it up. Okay? So, the Spirit of God, definition of temperance is the Spirit of God working in our life to control and defeat the urges and passions of the flesh. Okay, you have the list here, but one of the key issues here is that as the fruit of the Spirit, does it just work in one area? Does it work in just one area? No. Okay? And I think that is kind of a principle that we're going to be dealing with today about the whole principle of temperance. So we're going to start off by talking about the different areas of the flesh. And we can think of it in a lot of different ways. But let's just say, how would we put this across? So we're kind of thinking together. Okay? If a person is trying to fight their addiction to gambling. And hopefully there's no gamblers here. Okay, someone trying to fight their addiction to gambling. Okay. Do you think that is probably the only area of their life where they don't have self-control? Okay. So you're talking to a young person and they're lazy. You want to help them with their laziness. Do you think that's the only area they don't have self-control in? Let's say you have a young person that can't discipline themselves to do their homework. They're a daydreamer. I think that's the only area they lack discipline. Nope. So it's a bigger problem than one thing. It's a bigger problem than one thing. Are you going to? So here's this young person. They're let's just say they. They're a gamer. That's a new term. I heard that term. A gamer. Okay? That, you know what a gamer is? Pastor Hatch, you know what a gamer is?
Somebody goes hunting and fishing.
No. A gamer, a college student told me this. Said, we got a lot of gamers. That is, kids who play video games every chance they get. They're in college. And they're gamers. And wow. Interesting. Okay. Now,
you gotta consider my age, Wes.
I know, that's why I asked you.
And when I was a kid, I was a gamer, so I went down to your fishing hole.
Okay, well, guess what? There's something too, right? Okay. Okay, so let's talk about the areas of the flesh. Okay? You can look at the list if you want, but there's probably a lot more on there. Okay? Nope. Okay, so when we talk about temperance, we think about, well, one of the things we think about is food. Some people, when they think of temperance, they think of alcohol. All right? Some people, when they think of temperance, they think of drugs. Some people think temperance, they think of smoking. I guess we should talk about chewing too. Yeah. we can talk about. Video games. Okay? We could talk about. Name some things. Participate.
I think anything should be out of balance.
Okay. Yeah?
Work.
You're a sinner. You're a big sinner. Big sinner. Everybody at camp, big sinners. Kitchen crew, big sinners. Big sinners. Okay. Just say it. Pardon me?
Internet.
Talking. Yep. Pardon me? Oh, shopping, yeah.
Garage sales.
What did you say, hunting? Well, fishing is a kind of gambling too, isn't it? Pardon me? Yeah. Now you're getting personal. Okay. How about sleep? Bible say anything about sleeping? Little slumber, a little sleep. Yes. Okay. Okay. Addiction to sports. Thoughts.
Hobbies.
Pardon me?
Hobbies.
Lust. Pardon me?
Music.
Oh, music. Okay. Books. Books. Okay. Guess there's a whole huge list, isn't there? Okay. So, let's kind of look at this list. Let's just say, we'll kind of deal with what I would say maybe the most powerful areas here, some powerful ones. And connected. Okay. So we don't get personal here, we'll just talk about young people. Yeah. No, there aren't any, right, Wally? Okay. Okay. So a parent comes to me and they says, you know, my son is angry. My son is angry. Usually that means there's other things. Other things.
People tend to get angry when they don't get their own way.
Yeah.
Well, anger is a root of anger.
Here's anger. A child that's angry, typically a very angry child, they also have this. Lust. A child that's in pornography, they will be an angry child. There's a relationship. What's the relationship? Lack of the fruit of the Spirit, lack of temperance. Okay? A lot of these things here, you could summarize them all in one big word. The Bible uses doesn't necessarily use this word, uses a different word. Selfish person. A selfish person. Yes.
For example, alcohol, drugs, lust, any of those things. Not a matter of being interpreted, but just having that in your life, you know, where too much food or too much video games or too much sleep or too much of all these other things would be interpreted upstairs. But to be lustful or to drink alcohol or to smoke,
Okay, but the reason I brought those in, okay, is you have somebody that, let's just say, they're trying to get victory over alcohol. Okay? Now, there is issue of the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. And to have victory in the area of alcohol will require power of the Holy Spirit. And that will be related to a host of other things in which they are intemperate. You know, we like to think you're just tackling one thing. But you're really not tackling just one thing. Now, that may be, this may be a whole part of a person who lacks personal strength. And this will be one of those obvious results. Now they've really been carried away into a... broadly, as you know, without question, sinful area. Yes? Okay, and so the other half of this is does the Holy Spirit Now, a person who's going to be fighting alcohol, okay, they already know it's sin. Right? Okay? They already know it's sin. It's not a matter of the fact of sin or not sin. But how are they going to get victory over it? Okay? That's kind of where I'm coming from. How are they going to get victory over it? Are they going to get victory over it by... let's just say, being lazy. I don't think so. Yes, Teresa.
Smoking was different. I went back a couple times. It was harder. I'm so
Well, obviously there is a spiritual principle that when you first get saved, many times God gives you special grace to take care of those things. But if you go back to them, oh boy, now they're stronger than ever.
Mm-hmm. And you know better now.
Yeah. And now there's a double whammy there.
And now you've exercised your will to sin.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, that is that's true, but yet that is true, but yet the fact is, you know, for instance, it's a little bit easier to comprehend meekness. You get all of a sudden totally meek, you know. You pray, now I just. Exaggerating here. You pray, oh Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Oh, and all of a sudden you're meek? No. No, there's an incremental application of the Lord to our lives, and it's also a building thing. There's a build, and there's a moment by moment response to the Lord. And there is a incremental building in our life of the fruit of the Spirit, okay? I think those are, you know, the realities. We would like to get a holy zap and it's all over. That's what we would like. And we wouldn't have to pray. We wouldn't have to pray and deliver me from evil. We wouldn't have to pray that. Yeah, holy that the rapture. Okay. All right. I kind of gave this list for a purpose, in the fact that, you know, many times we just think of one area in our life that we would like, or the. For us to get, you know, right with the Lord and get that, you know, victory. But the fact is, and, you know, I don't really think that too many people are here on the, the ones that are, you know, willful, open, sinless. But the issue is, when we fight one area of intemperance, the fact is there's probably a number of other ones in our lives. Okay? And if we are, and the Lord, when He works, is going to be working in the whole general realm of our life. Okay? He's going to be working in the whole general realm of our life. Okay? Let's put it this way. Okay, so if your person is, let's just take an easy one. Okay, so if a person is going to, try to really get strength over, you know, the body's drive for food. Well, if there is a giving in to the flesh in other areas, that's going to be harder. Because you just don't target one area and think that that's victory in that one area. Just think about it. Okay? There's a general turning to the Lord, and it's not just temperance in one particular area. Pastor Hatcher.
That's not the way our mind works. The way our mind works is says, oh, there's 21 things up there. I only got one other problem coming to you.
There's a lot more.
But you know what I'm saying? That is, oh, I go down there. That doesn't bother me. I'm not, I don't drink. I don't got alcohol. I don't smoke. I don't chew. I don't play video games. I must be okay.
Yeah. But to talk wrong is okay. Or to,
I mean,
you know.
I don't, there's 21 up there. I don't have 19 out. I must be okay.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works.
No, it isn't. Right? Even one. But the fact is, for most people, it's not. Now, let's put it this way. Let's put it in another way, okay? For our general society, okay, so we got some camp workers here. Okay? In our general world, okay, you're dealing with a young person and they say, man, I have a problem with lust. Okay. Do you think that's the only area in our life? How many more do you think there are? A lot. And so they come forward and say, I need to take care of lust.
Pastor, I think the point I'm trying to make is the problem is that's the root of the problem is intemperance. It's a matter of having anything in your life. It's not a matter of which one of those it is. It's a matter that if anything in your life is out of balance and out of control and is dominating, that's intemperance.
Yes, exactly.
And so it's not a matter of, okay, let me see if I can find you on the list. If I have anything on that list, I'm intemperate.
Mm-hmm.
Not whether I have five or six.
Right.
If I have one, I'm intemperate.
Okay. And I agree with that. That is true. Okay? I'm just making one application here. Okay? And because this is how people think. Okay? That's how people think. Okay? And this is especially this is how young people think, right? Okay? So they get convicted about one thing. And they're all of a sudden they're going to get victory over that one thing because they confessed it. But the problem is what? Pastor Hatchett said, intemperance. Okay? And so there's a whole, who knows what the list is, right? Who knows what the list is? But when you're dealing with that, oh boy. There's probably a big list. Okay? And so we're talking about, really, we're talking about something far greater than that. We're talking about a person's walk with God, right? And the Spirit of God's work in their life. And of course, what we're talking about is that the Spirit of God is there for every area of our life. Okay? Now, I kind of brought that issue up. Okay? If a parent is working with a child, okay, it's probably not just one area. Okay? For instance, if a child is lazy, that is very bad because that is a large area of intemperance. Okay? And Pastor Jim, he always would say, you know, the big sin of McGuanago is capital letters, L-A-Z-Y. Okay? Because we have work days and different things like that. But, you know, it's a lot different. It's really not that. It is a representative of a huge issue in that person's life. Okay? And so that is the kind of person that is, I guess it's not on here. That's the kind of person that's going to be a gamer. Right? They're going to be a gamer. And, you know, it's not just young people. I mean, I think maybe life has changed, but, man, there used to be thousands of people, I suppose they still do, you know, solitaire people. You know, old people, they play solitaire all day long. Pardon me?
Bingo.
Or bingo. Yeah. I don't know what you can get out of that. But you know, it's really a whole way of, you know, thinking. Okay? So, let me ask you a question. The gambler, okay, this isn't always true, but in the general public, what do you think about the gambler? They're trying to make it rich quick. Usually they have a lot of bills, don't they? And they are going to solve all their financial problems by getting the lottery, right? Okay? But what does the Bible say? In all labor, there is profit. Okay? And so, rather in their mind, rather than going to the gas station and buying a lottery ticket, they should be thinking about how they can work. Right? But what's easier? Not working. Going to the store and buying a lottery ticket and making a fortune in a moment without any hard work. Okay? We're kind of dealing with a whole realm of reality. Okay, principles of the spirit and the flesh in temperance. A, to have victory in one area will involve self-control in all areas. A loosening in one area brings a loosening in many other areas. A loosening in one area brings a loosening in many other areas. And you can kind of see the right? And this person decides that they're going to loosen up. Ever hear that phrase? They're going to loosen up. And really, what they're saying is, you know what? We're going to put aside this whole principle of temperance and, like I say, downfall. Why? Because the flesh has... And this world offers a multitude of areas of the flesh, right? Multitudes. Okay? Yes?
Here's a verse that actually talks about the principle that we're talking about. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things.
Okay? 1 Corinthians 9. He that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. And so there's a general principle of Christianity, isn't it? Right? General principle of Christianity, temperate in all things. Okay, now, let me ask you a question. The Bible says, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. What does that mean? War. Okay? does the flesh want to be controlled? The flesh does not want to be controlled. Now let me ask you a question. What does the flesh do when it doesn't want to be controlled? And maybe the real answer is they're controlling it in their own strength and not in the Spirit. Rebel. Rebellion. The flesh says, I am tired of doing this. I am tired. I am tired of being under restraint. I am tired of hearing no. I am tired of being in a straitjacket. The fact is, even for the person doing it in their own strength, they're better off not to give up. Okay? Because of this principle. Because the flesh is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. The eye is never satisfied. The flesh is never satisfied. Can never have it easy enough. Always wants it easier. Always wants more. And that more will never satisfy. There's no place where the flesh is ever satisfied. Okay? And a little laziness isn't good enough. I want more. You know? Pardon me? The flesh is not temperate, that's for sure. And does not want to be, you know, controlled. Okay? Now, the Spirit of God has within it the spirit of temperance. Okay? And so here we have God's Spirit bringing self-control to that person. And Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That kind of temperance is joyful. That kind of temperance, because that gives freedom. That gives rest. Gives peace. Okay? And so we have these two conflicting. Let's see if I can fill in the blank here. The fruit of the Holy Spirit comes. I don't know what I was. I think this is copied wrong. Maybe that's why she couldn't fill in the blank. Let's skip it. Number four, practical application of temperance. Walking in the Spirit is the key. Number A, identify the flesh. Okay? Many times we do not identify the flesh. We don't identify what it is that is demanding what this intemperance. Let me give you illustration. Okay, we're adults, but give you illustration. So here's this Bible college student, Christian school, and they're a gamer. When they go to pick up that whatever it is, do they say, oh, this is my flesh? Is that what they say? No, they don't say that. You know, maybe they would say, oh, this is what I like to do. This is fun. Right? I enjoy this. This is great. They don't think, ah, this is the flesh. And so the key, obviously one of the keys is identifying the flesh. Okay? The second obvious principle is the principle of feeding the spirit versus feeding the flesh. Okay? Feeding the spirit versus feeding the flesh. Okay? In this realm of intemperance, what do you have to do to be under the influence of intemperance? Nothing. That's the issue. Nothing. Again, we're identifying the flesh, right? Nothing. So, the person who doesn't feed the Spirit, they don't have their devotions. Now, obviously, there's a number of issues in not having your devotions. One is, I don't need it. I don't need to walk with God. I don't need to put the spiritual first. I'm fine. Okay? I mean, there's a general spirit there. Yes.
You know, it's really interesting how convincing your mind is that what you're doing is really not so bad. I was dealing with someone recently, not too recently, to the point where the thinking of an individual can become, and I've actually seen her this. Well, it's okay to look at
Yeah. That's out there today.
That's out there. Big time.
Yeah.
So it's fine to look at the pictures, just don't bless them to do it.
Yeah.
And how stupid can you get?
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's
How it's like the video games.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's really nothing wrong with that. I mean, they're just killing people, but they're not just people.
Mm-hmm.
They're cartoon people. So there's really, you know, this is just something I like to do.
Mm-hmm.
Kids think that way.
Yep.
You know, there are an awful lot of adults that think video.
Oh, yeah. 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 You know, people, once in a while, someone will say to me, man, I bought my kids for Christmas, not somebody here, but someone else, you know, they bought for Christmas this game box, you know, or whatever, you know. And no. The problem is, parents don't know what the flesh is. And they don't know how the kid's flesh works. They just don't understand it. They don't understand addiction. Okay, so there's the feeding of the spirit, there's feeding of the flesh. One, devotions. Number two, Bible memory. Three, dependence, actual dependence on God. The Lord told us to pray that we would be delivered from temptation. Four is pursuing the glory of God. Actually, five is the same, focusing on the glory of God. There's a huge difference between focusing on self and focusing on the glory of God. You know, to be delivered for something for our personal image, that's not going to bring... That's really not feeding the Spirit, is it? But doing something for the glory of God is many times the whole difference of the key of a victory or a lack of victory. Okay, well, our time's up. Yeah, Dave. Yes. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? To be carnally minded is what? Death. And realm of death. And we live in a world that that where homes are increasingly intemperate, and the list is huge. The list is huge. The list is just absolutely huge. And the battle becomes mammoth. And God's people need to be wise as you see these things. And that's why, as Pastor Hatchett said, there's so many things that aren't necessarily wrong, but you can see how they become addictive. How people will violate Bible principles to keep them or to do them. And all of a sudden now we realize that this innocent thing is really feeding the flesh. And that child or that adult has become intemperate. Okay, yes.
Reading Peter said we should show forth praises him who called us out of darkness into
light. Mm-hmm.
That's intemperate.
Yeah.
That's temperate.
Right, exactly. A world of darkness today.
And really what you're saying is, okay, is this great praise to God?
Mm-hmm. Now, when we kind of put it together, this whole idea of walking in the Spirit covers a multitude of areas, doesn't it? Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's where you lose your intimacy with the Spirit of God. Okay, Miss Ellen. Mm-hmm. Yep. This world has lots of isms, doesn't it? And they're new all the time. They're new all the time. Okay. Well, let's pray. Father, I pray that you'd bless these truths. And Lord, we realize that the truth we've looked at today is far bigger than we allow ourselves to consider, and broader in life than we many times imagine. And Lord, pray that the truth of your word would penetrate our souls today, and that your Spirit would give light, and that we would be drawn, Lord, to dependence upon thee, and that life that brings glory to your Son. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.